1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, the mayor of the city of Richland Center is here with us today, Todd Coppernall, who joins us in the studio just ahead of the snowmageddon they're talking about. Boy, it's going to get wild out there, it sounds like, Todd.
So they tell me. Good morning, Phil. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah.
No winter to speak of, and now here it come the forecast as we were talking off the air. The next several days, what is there for snow in the forecast 3 or 4 times?
I know.
After none.
Right.
That figures.
Well, the only thing I can say, maybe snowmobile enthusiasts will like that if we do get those trails open.
They certainly will, and I know they've been impatiently waiting. A friend of mine who lives down near Madison just told me in the last week that folks in Madison were wondering if the lakes would even freeze over this year, legitimately wondering that, and I think they might be getting a different answer than they thought now.
Yeah, I think they might. But we do want to encourage people to listen, and we'll keep you posted if there are some snow emergencies, which could legitimately happen, Todd.
It certainly could, and yes, please stay tuned to WRCO Radio in the event of a snow emergency. Would be announced on the air, of course, and at that point, you need to have your vehicles off city streets. Now, keep in mind, in a case like that, the city municipal parking lots are open for that, so that there's a place for folks to park in the street to move their vehicles, but please pay attention to that. It just obviously is to help our folks at the street department when they get the plows out.
I know that the rotary lights in the park just ended. Boy, they had a great season. I don't even know if they may have had one early out. We'll have to confer that, but I don't think they had any cancellations.
No, it went great. It has been every year. It's really become a great local tradition, and we pull people from all over. It's amazing where people come from now to see our lights in the park, and I'm glad you said that because what I'm going to tie into that, one of the individuals who's been at the heart of our Rotary Lights in the Park program since its inception is a longtime city resident, Mr. Keith Baling. And for so many years, he was joined in that effort by his wife, Dottie Baling. And what I wanted to do today is to thank Keith publicly for everything that he's done for this community for so many years and for everything that Dottie did for this community for so many years. And Keith had me over to his house back in September, and he showed me all these photos of he and Dottie and all of these awards and recognitions that Dottie had earned through her life. And it's really, it just, you take a step back, what a life she led. And the reason I'm tying those two things together, Keith's become a good friend, as he is to so many people in town, and he was out there giving it his all at the Rotary Lights again this year. And I want people to keep in mind, this was his first holiday season without Dottie. And anybody who's gone through a transition like that or watched someone they love go through a transition like that know what a tremendous life adjustment it is. So a tip of the cap and a thank you to Keith and to Dottie and to her memory. Thank you, Keith, and we're all here for you, my friend. And I will lead from there to Mr. Dick Newman, who so many knew for so many decades as a teacher at Richland Center High School and as the director for so long of the Hilltoppers Color Guard. And Dick gave me a call Friday night, and he said, I want to come and see you Monday, and he's doing so. And we had a long conversation, and it's the same idea. Jan passed in May. Jan Newman, who, of course, was so plugged into the community for so long, as Dick has been too. And I think it's important in any community, but perhaps more so in a small community where we know one another so well, to remember the people. And when you get a chance to say something publicly, don't forget to do that. So thank you again now to Mr. Dick Newman for all those decades of teaching our young people and directing that color guard. Dick told me 550 girls had participated through the years. And they went all over the country representing our community, and they won award after award. They're still on display in our community center in a trophy case. And who could say how many lives Mr. Newman touched in his career? So thanks to both of those gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. You think about volunteerism and the two, I think they're like two of the guys that come to mind when I think about all the many great volunteers we have.
Yeah, and there's a lot more of them, and I don't mean to leave anybody out. I just, given the times and recent events and recent conversations, those two came to mind. So thanks to both of them.
Give us an update on Panorama Estates. Do you have anything to say?
I do. So Panorama Estates, if you don't recognize the name, that's the apartment complex on the hill across the road from the high school. And you may know that when that project was conceived, the idea there is to get three buildings built of 45 apartments apiece. Now, obviously, the first one was built. It's there. People living in it, enjoying it. It's been a true asset to the community. It's helped, among other things, a lot of people who were relocating here for work to get to town. They move there while they're looking for a house. It's really paid off. Well, the plan, of course, is for the other two buildings to be built one at a time, and that third building is not due for several more years. But the group that did the first building has attracted some additional investors to their project, and they've brought financial information to the city, which is currently being professionally reviewed for us. And the plan is for that to be before the city council maybe in January, and if not in February, because these folks want to build this summer, and they, instead of building one building at a time, they want to build two and three at the same time, which would bring 90 new apartments to town. And we have a housing shortage now that's, it was already acute, it got worse. And just last night, I'll leave her name out, but a very well-respected resident of the county called me and said she's got a B&B and she's got a someone staying there who told her they're going to need housing for 20 families, contract with one of our large employers, and there will be people moving here. And they were asking if she knew of where to put these people and what homes are available, because it really is a problem. And what will happen if we don't get it addressed is they'll end up living somewhere else and driving to work here. Well, that just works against every property taxpayer we have and every business owner, right? Your friends who could have helped you shoulder the burden don't live here, so they don't help. And your potential customers aren't here, so they're in shops in some other town. That comes up too often, and I think we're on the cusp here. We are being very methodical and responsible because, of course, myself and the city council, we represent the people, which means we represent the taxpayers, and we will not make any snap decisions. This is being done the right way. Hopefully, we'll have an announcement on that, we'll just say, before the end of February.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
It's great news.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of work, The challenge to building right now is that building costs reach levels that pretty much none of us had ever seen. COVID caused, of course, runaway inflation. So building materials spiked, and then a lot of people invested in their homes or even a vacation property because there were so many other things they couldn't do. So then the labor got tied up and got more expensive. And then, of course, interest rates went from 4.5% to 8% in a hurry. So every piece, and land prices went up too. So every piece in a building project hit very high numbers at the same time. And it slowed down building. Well, that came at a bad time for us because we need those homes. Things are starting to match up. Some of the costs have eased a little bit, which is good news. And some more people that have been to town took a liking to us and want to invest here, which is great news. And hopefully we'll be able to get that done this summer.
The Richland Hospital, we had that announcement late last year about kind of abandoning the current proposal, but still going to keep that. I know that there's been some news about that and, you know, kind of trying to get that annexed to the city and everything. And what's the latest on that?
Yeah, it has been. The council approved the annexation of the property at our last city council meeting. So that's that piece of the puzzle is now done. What has happened up there, it is in the hands, of course, of the hospital board and hospital staff. And I believe, given all of the conditions and circumstances that I was made aware of, that our hospital board made the right choice in saying, yes, we're going to build a new hospital, but not today. There is no time frame that I've been made aware of yet to do it, but they have the land. So they're preparing for you know, when things make sense to do it, what time will make sense to do it. And I think they did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so too. And a lot of people will tell you though, the stuff goes up every year, you know, so the longer you wait, it's going to be a higher proposal every time.
And that's why they were trying to go.
Right.
That's exactly why they were trying to go. And what they found out is what I just said. It's the same any building project found out. Man, that's expensive. Whoa. Compared to 5 years ago. I mean, in a short 5 years is not a long time.
Right.
And in that short window, the numbers just really jumped. So some of these things, you know, some interest rates are beginning to ease a little bit. Some of the material prices have eased a little bit. And now what I'm being told is, you know, some of these contractors don't just have jobs lined up from here to the horizon at now. And so they're negotiating new deals, right? But they need to. So hopefully that will help us spur some activity. And, you know, we'll hear from Bruce Raisler and the hospital board as well when they're ready. I don't know when that'll be, but I think they're doing it the right way.
Tell me about the city budget. That was recently in the news. Approved?
Yep. The city council adopted the budget for 2024, which was composed by our city administrator, Ashley Oliphant. And the wonderful news that came from that, there's multiple reasons. One is just a full review of city budget, looking for any inefficiencies. And then the other one was the state's decision to increase the revenue share, to amend the revenue share. So Richland Center and Richland County got more money from the state than we'd been getting, which was great news because it needed to happen, especially for the county. City too, though, and it did. So the county was able to pass a balanced budget. They didn't have to do any borrowing this year, which is great. And the city actually passed a budget that left more than $150,000 in the pockets of our taxpayers because we didn't need the money. What I'm saying is the state law, they call it the tax levy limit. We would have been within rights. It would have been easy enough to find a reason. Let's do another street project. You know, let's do some more overlays on streets. Let's do whatever it is. But we said, you know, with inflation running as hot as it did and has for a couple of years, let's leave that money with our people. They need it. And we did. We were able to do that. So more than $150,000 that could have gone into property tax did not, and stayed with our people. And I think all of us involved are extremely proud of that.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Good thing to get done.
Right? Well, great thing to get done. I mean, seriously, so many municipalities, I'll leave their names out, but we've got some neighbors that people think are doing wonderful who are constantly facing budget shortfalls. Grass is always greener philosophy until you talk to their management, their elected officials, and they go, well, we're $800,000 short. We're $400,000 short. Geez, what are we going to do? And we laugh when we're on private. And I'll say, well, my people think your place is utopia. And they'll go, well, my people see what the new stuff you're getting and they wish we did. Human nature. But in our case, we passed a very responsible budget. And as I said, everyone involved is pretty proud of that.
Right. I think you are right when you say grass is always greener, because I think sometimes we overlook the progress, new businesses coming in and things like that we have in Richland Center.
But yeah, and that has been happening. Some new homes built, some new businesses coming to town, you know, and more on the horizon. And we just mentioned the Panorama Project. There's a couple other things going on. I'll touch lightly on one. I think we're going to have a more in-depth conversation, you and I, in the future on this one. But a home builder bought some land in town. It's right on the edge of town. It would need to be annexed, which won't be a challenge. An area that a different developer had started to work on, about maybe 15 years ago, and just didn't complete it. And this gentleman has longstanding ties to our community. And he purchased the land in the late summer and came to see me and Mr. Ryan Cairns, the city council president, and said, this is who I am, and this is what I bought, and this is what I want to do, and what he wants to do. Over time, it won't happen in one summer, but he's telling me 22 new homes. So we'll take this in steps. You know, that's an aggressive project, but it's a realistic project in this case. And I will share more details when I can. What I'm going to do, Phil, is invite them to join me on the show.
Oh, good.
Let's just bring them here. There's two people involved with local ties, and they should probably be telling their own story because it's a great story. It's two people with longstanding ties that didn't live here but cared about us and found out about this opportunity, and they're coming. And this, all of these things that are starting to happen, this has been a ton of work to get it lined up. Panorama Housing Project, all I can give you right now, two significant retailers looking at our town in ways that they weren't willing to do in the past, giving us favorable reviews, strongly considering joining the city. Whether they'll happen or not remains unclear. Nobody's promised anything. But the conversation went from, we're not interested to, you know what, yes, we are. And again, a great deal of work, a lot of conversations, a lot of disappointment along the way. But the perception of our community has changed in those circles. And that's been accomplished through a great deal of effort. And we've got some opportunities coming that we weren't getting. I don't know how many of them will come to fruition. It's always complex. I'm hopeful. I'd love to see all four of these. I don't know. But we'll know, you know, over these next 6 months on four big projects.
So when a retailer looks at Richland Center, they're looking at hopefully more than the population, because lots of folks use this kind of as the center, kind of their hub of shopping and travel, don't they?
Well, it's a really interesting thing. The first things they look at are traffic count, how many vehicles a day go past the location they're interested in. So it's not just how many people live here, how many people are here. And you have to understand, just look around at how many people don't live in Richland Center but drive here for work 5 days a week. And they're coming from all around. You know, Spring Green, Lone Rock Plain, Boscobel, Hillsboro, all over the place, Muscadet, all around. So, yeah, I mean, we're 5,100 people, but in a sense, we are the local, regional economic hub. It's the truth. And we have thousands of people a day driving to work here. So 5,100 people can be a little deceptive, because there's more than that in town during the day. They're just coming and going. Again, why we want housing here. But these land brokers that represent these brands, they're looking at those traffic counts. If you ever see black quartz across the road, that's them counting cars. Okay? And they want to know how many people are coming through. And then they are going to look at median income and has there been population growth, all of those kind of things. What they're really trying to make sure is they got enough people to sell things to. Because if they're going to build, for instance, a new store, that's millions of dollars, and that's got to pay off. Well, we have had some higher traffic counts, some population growth since the census was taken in 2020, and they've noticed it. And they like the mood and the dialogue coming from city government, and they've been very open and honest about that. They feel a different tone here than what had been here in times past. Not my words, it's what they're telling me. And so we're in different conversation, better, more optimistic and hopeful.
Well, wouldn't it be something? You talked about the additional apartments at Panorama Estates and possibly 22 new homes. And, you know, in our time, that population sign hasn't changed a whole lot, you know, in the 50 or 60 years. So wouldn't it be nice to change that number here one of these years?
It is pretty crazy. When I was a kid, the 1970 census signs were posted here, and we're about 50 people bigger than that in 50 years. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, everybody here knows it, right? It's just been the truth. And the county population is the same way. So, yes, it would be nice. And I believe, absolutely, if the census was taken today, that number would be higher. I absolutely believe that. And but then again, for example, in just the last few months, Schreiber Foods added another line to their plant in town. It's a huge, one of the biggest yogurt plants in North America now is right in our city. So again, more people driving here to work that maybe didn't. Well, those jobs weren't there. I mean, Phil, you and I are in the same generation. When in the early mid 80s, any point in the 80s, kids getting out of high school here, if they wanted to go find a job. Remember how challenging that was?
Mm-hmm.
Almost impossible.
Yeah, there was usually a waiting line with, you know, job applicants trying to get in and get the one job.
You had to know somebody.
Right.
To get into Foremost, to get into what was then known as Allen Bradley, Rockwell, to get into the Foundry, any of those now. Look in the shopping news. Multiple pages of ads every single time it prints. I drive past these places and you see the now hiring that they just don't take down anymore. So we have employment opportunities here we didn't have.
And they're good jobs, too.
They are. I don't have his consent, so I'll leave his name out. I mentioned on the air a few months ago that a high school classmate of mine, he was a year older than me, he's class of 84, had recently moved back here. He'd been living in Stoughton for decades. About a week ago, another one from the class of 84, who's been in the Milwaukee area since he was 19. I see him in town. I think that's, and he said, "Hey, Todd, come here. I'm moving home." I, what? Wow. And his employer happened to have an opening out here and wanted him to transfer out here. And he said, "Well, I'd like to visit, but no, man, I've been in the city so long." And they said, "Well, we really want you there, so at least go think about it." Well, his wife wasn't from here, and she'd never lived in a place like Richland Center, so he brought her out here and drove her around, and she saw one of the banners on one of the plants and said, "Really?" And applied, and they hired her. And they're moving here. And they're already here in a rental, and they're going to build a home. This has been happening. This has been, I just told you, I got a B&B owner telling me there's 20 families coming. Don't have the time frame yet, but this is a contract done, coming. Opportunities are here, Phil. They are here. Opportunities we did not used to get are here now.
I know you've been recently in some active talks between the Richland School District and the city and the county, and can you give us a progress report on that?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that I'm proud of this one. All right. It isn't just me, so I'm going to share the credit where I should. When I became the mayor, I was told right away that relationship between city, county, and schools was pretty terrible. There were people that didn't talk to each other much. When they did, it got contentious and these kind of things. And I know that it was true because I walked into it. So the first person I want to share credit with is Mr. Marty Brewer, the county board chair, because he became chair when I became mayor. And we both said, this isn't how you do it. We're representing the same people. So we started for a while. The city administrator and I, once a month, would have lunch with Marty and the county administrator just to, hey, this is what we're working on. That's what they're working on. Are there ways we could collaborate, right? Reduce costs for the taxpayer. Looking ahead to your budget, what do you see? Because the last thing we want, city, county, and schools trying to raise property taxes at the same time, right? So what are you working on? What are we working on? Are there ways we can help each other out? Well, over time, I'll share credit with Mr. Steve Port at the Richland School District. When he became the district administrator, I reached out to him and he joined us. And he brought with him school board president Aaron Unbeon. And we've met a few times. And an example of what might happen, the first time was very informal. And it was myself, Marty, Aaron, and Steve just in the conference room at the City Hall building on one evening, just brainstorming, spitballing, just no agenda. What are you guys up to? Well, this is what we're up to. And in the conversation, Steve Board says, we want to bring a charter school to the Richland School District. We think it will increase enrollment, and every new kid in the schools brings $12,000 in state aid. This is a big deal. I said, wow. He said, we could do it at Jefferson Elementary, but it's not the right configuration. We really don't want this, the wrong building, but that's what we have. And Marty Brewer says, what about East Hall? Which, of course, was one of the campus buildings, the one closest to the American Legion. And they said, we think that would be great. And they arranged a walkthrough, and they said, we know that would be great. It took time because you have to follow rules, get through committees, and so on and so on. But they did. And the school district now owns East Hall, and the charter school is up and running, bringing more kids to the Richland School District, which, among other things, will help more young people get the education that suits them and helps our taxpayers because, of course, tax dollars fund the schools. As Steve says, $12,000 in state aid with each kid. More kids is a good thing. And that thing was initially conceived in just an impromptu conversations, the meeting I called with Marty and Steve, and Steve brought Aaron, and there it is. And the next domino that fell, then the school district didn't need Jefferson Elementary, which occupies an entire city block in a residential neighborhood, non-taxable because it's been a school. And they have now sold that to Mr. Kerry Norman. And he's still working on exactly what he's going to do, whether he puts commercial suites in there or apartments in there. The point is, that will become a taxable property, and it will bring things we don't have, perhaps more apartments that we know we need. Again, a help to the tax base, helps every property taxpayer in the county, not just the city. maybe some more homes, which we keep expressing how much that we need those, which was the second step that just sort of naturally evolved from one meeting that led to a charter school, that led to the school district making Jefferson available, that will lead to what Kerry does with it. And we said, see, there you go. That's how this is done. And so now we've started to do a little more of that. And in the near future, we intend to do this publicly in a little bit different format, give the community an opportunity to come to one place and have city, county, and Richland School District representatives there to maybe talk about the things they're working on and perhaps take some questions from the public, which I think the people will love. I think the people, I know they will, because every time I do this show, I hear from them. Thanks for, no, we weren't getting this information before. We love it. Keep doing it. Well, how about this? City, county, and school district in one place. That's coming, guys.
It's kind of like a live podcast in some ways, isn't it?
I hadn't thought of that. Phil, can you get the folks at Civic to come up with a name?
We'll have to work on that. Mayor Todd Coppernall is our guest on The Morning Show. We'll have more coming up in a moment. Mayor Todd Coppernall is our guest here on WRCO's Morning Show today on the 8th of January. Good to have you in here, as always, with some good news from the city. We're always always looking forward to that, Todd.
I almost forgot something that I can't forget. I think tomorrow is Bernie Cooey's 100th birthday.
Oh, yes. They had a celebration yesterday.
100 years. Okay, if anybody doesn't know Bernie, he's a certified character. He's just a lot of fun. He lived next door to my in-laws for a long time, and he's still in touch with Bernie, my father-in-law. And I can't leave that out. Bernie was he was the county coroner for many years. Again, another long-term contributor to our community, and I saw the announcement, and yeah, they just did a celebration, I think, yesterday. I think his actual birthday, I think it's the 9th. 100. You know what? If you ever wanted to, the Bernie Cooey stories could fill a month of your show.
Ah, yeah. Maybe we'll have to do that.
All right. Go on, Phil.
We'll have to have somebody play his part of the younger Bernie Cooey, and then we could bring him on as the current Bernie Cooey.
There you go.
Right. Exactly. Some things that we wanted to talk about, too. Obviously, there's an election cycle. We're kind of into that new cycle, and you will have opposition this year.
Yep, I will. Okay, so a few things. There are city council seats up. There are county board seats up, and all of the local stuff. And, you know, it's a presidential year, primary stuff going on. But, yep, to the point you just made, there are two candidates for mayor this year, myself and alderperson Karen Tepley. And several people have asked me how I feel about having an opponent, and my answer is pretty simple. No problem. That's one of the best things about the United States of America, one of the great separators that makes us different in so many places, and honestly led to the U.S. becoming the most powerful nation on earth, is that system, the elections, and the hearing the voice of the people. I absolutely believe in it. You bet. I mean, you could have had 10 candidates. That's how it works, right? As it happens, we have two. No problem. Let's do it. And when the election will happen that first Tuesday in April. And in the meantime, I'm sure the people will be hearing from both of us on why we're running and what we're all about. You know, I think it's great. Think about it. Our ancestors fled all these other countries. Didn't want to have to belong to the king's church. Didn't want to have taxes raised without their voice being heard. All these reasons from all over the world. Didn't want to live under communist rule. All these different things through the generations. So they came here, and look what you can do in this country. It's still true. You can run for office and help draft policy. You can start a business. You can do all these things without somebody telling you that you have to do it the way they told you have to do it. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Karen Tepley, we talked to her last week, and you know, now that it's an election cycle, we have to offer her equal time, and she will be a guest on the show here coming up, if anybody was wondering about that. So.
And why not? Yep. I mean, why not? And if we're there, we're here. We're both on the ballot, so on we go.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. And I noticed there are lots of openings, some people that chose not to run. So, again, we like to shake the bushes a little bit and get some people out there to it's not an easy thing, I know, to give up your time and things like that. But it certainly is important, isn't it?
It's critically important. And I wonder sometimes if people have stayed plugged in and how important it is. I'll just stick with city. the mayor is the mayor, provides oversight and has veto power over legislation that the council might enact, and is the CEO of the city. Okay, a lot of things. It's a very responsible position.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
It's the city council that actually enacts policy. So whether or not to pass a new ordinance or amend one, all of those decisions to approve the city budget every year, all of that.
CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Boscobel is Wisconsin's outdoor recreation destination. The Boscobel Chamber of Commerce encourages your visit soon. Mr. Tom's Auto Body specializes in collision repair and refinishing, rust proofing, rust repair, sandblasting, and more. Call 375-4480. Total Tech provides a host of services including flat rate commercial IT support and PC repair, security cameras, telephone systems, and audio and video solutions. J&J Recycling and Salvage pays more for complete cars, offers farm cleanup, and buys cars and trucks. If it's here, it's for sale. Call 375-5353. And Herculift is your local material handling supplier with service, parts, and rental equipment, as well as new and used options for purchase or lease. Call 800-362-3500.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News this time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. We're under winter storm warning until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for snow, heaviest at times, possibly midday into afternoon, and an additional 3 to 6 inches of snow possible today and a high of 34. Right in between 2.5 and 3 inches of snow, and it's 32 degrees.
The next generation of recliners has arrived in fine style. The Ernest Power Recliner with dual motor design takes custom comfort to the next level. With the touch of a button, its power lift feature gently eases you from the ultimate slumber into the lift position to get you back on your feet. At Court & Main's winter sale event going on now through February 9th, the Ernest Power Lumbar Lift Chair is now $729, located in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. A winter storm is impacting travel in Wisconsin today. The National Weather Service forecasting heavy snowfall and high winds throughout the central and southern parts of the state. The drivers, if you're needing to travel today, know before you go with 511 Wisconsin at 511wi.gov or via the mobile app. Travelers can monitor winter road conditions and view live videos from traffic cameras along their route as well. Clear snow and ice from vehicles before traveling. Fill the gas tank and windshield washer fluid. Have a fully charged phone and an emergency kit in your vehicle as well. Snowplow crews and emergency responders across Wisconsin are preparing for potentially hazardous conditions on the roads throughout the duration of the storm this week. Precautions to follow include snow means slow, that is, allow extra travel time, following distance, and reduce your speed during winter conditions. Be cautious on bridges, overpasses, and entrance and exit ramps. Don't be overconfident in four-wheel or all-wheel drive vehicles. All vehicles require additional time and distance to stop in adverse conditions. Avoid using cruise control in the winter conditions as well. Buckle up, put your phone down while driving. Every tip, every time. Leave room for maintenance vehicles and snow plows. Move over or slow down for stopped emergency vehicles as well. Due to anticipated snow accumulations in the city of Richland Center, it has been announced that a snow removal emergency will begin at 10 o'clock tonight and will expire on Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. This removal emergency prohibits vehicles of any kind to be parked on any street or highway within the city of Richland Center between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. All vehicles must be removed from city streets and highways from 10 p.m. until 7 a.m. each night that the snow removal emergency is in effect. Vehicles parked on any city street during these hours will be ticketed. The fine for a snow removal emergency violation is $25. In addition, vehicles in violation may be towed at the owner's expense. Overnight, off-street parking will be available in five city-owned municipal parking lots located downtown. The five include the lot south of the fire department, also south of the city auditorium, parking lot north of Advanced Pump and Well, also on South Jefferson Street across from Quick Trip, the parking lot north of A1 Furniture. Overnight, off-street parking will also be available at the community center parking lot, city hall parking lot, and also the lot on West Seminary Street near Mill Pond Park. Vehicles need to be removed from these lots during the daytime to allow for normal use. Again, the snow emergency begins tonight at 10 o'clock and expires tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. At a special Richland School Board meeting last night, the board heard a presentation from the Morris Leatherman Company last Thursday. This presentation summarized the findings from the community survey held in December. Representatives from Nexus also presented at the special meeting and discussed options to structure a capital improvement referendum within the guidelines obtained from the survey. Board members last night approved moving forward on a possible non-recurring operational referendum. Broken down, it would be $2.3 million. In 2425, $2.4 million in 2526, $2.5 million in 2627, and $2.6 million in 2728. A proposed referendum question for operational costs in the amount of $27,160,000 for the public purpose of paying the cost of school facility improvement projects consisting of district-wide safety, security, and site improvements, and Americans with Disabilities Act compliance updates, remodeling and upgrades to district technical education space, roofing improvements at the high school, district-wide capital maintenance, infrastructure, and HVAC improvements, including adding air conditioning to the school buildings where needed, and acquisition of furnishings, fixtures, and equipment, and auditorium upgrades also were approved. The goal of the district is to keep the mill rate below $15. District Administrator Steve Board will work with Quarles and Brady to finalize referendum questions. Steve Board will be on today's morning show to give further explanations about the possibility of the two referendum questions. That comes up today, beginning a little after 9 o'clock on WRCO. A Milwaukee man will spend time in prison for a fatal crash on New Year's Day of 2023. Juan Felix Avendando was sentenced Friday to 22 years of prison time for colliding into a vehicle carrying a Menominee Falls family to church on New Year's morning. There will be no criminal charges in connection to a fatal shooting involving law enforcement in Ozaukee County. The incident happened November 2nd when county sheriff's deputies tried to pull over a suspect identified as Christopher Sewell for outstanding felony warrants near I-43 in the town of Grafton. The vehicle driven by Sewell sped off, which led to a chase. After a tire deflation device caused the fleeing vehicle to stop, Sewell ran from his vehicle and into a nearby tree line. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says after Sewell allegedly revealed a weapon, Deputy Michael Zilke shot Sewell, who died at the scene. A man who allegedly was evading a traffic stop has died following a crash in Dodge County Sunday evening. The sheriff's office there said after the driver reportedly did not stop for Washington County deputies, a Dodge County deputy attempted to pull over the possibly impaired driver, who was driving erratically. The driver then sped away at speeds of over 100 miles per hour. After failing to negotiate a curve, the pursued vehicle crashed into a tree. A 27-year-old man from Hartford behind the wheel of that vehicle died at the scene.
Calling all Rockwell Automation employees and retirees. The holidays are still in full swing, and the Rockwell Automation Social Committee invites you to a joyous celebration. Save the date for January 13th. From 5 p.m. to midnight, we'll be spreading holiday cheer at the Phoenix Center. Join us for an evening of laughter, memories, and festive delights. Let's make this celebration one to remember. The Rockwell Automation Holiday Celebration. Because the joy doesn't end when the holidays do. See you there.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 34, additional snowfall 3 to 6 inches during the day, east to northeast winds at 12 to 25 and gusty. Breezy with snow tapering off by late evening tonight, an additional 1 to 2 inches possible and a low of 23. Wednesday mostly cloudy, much quieter and a high of 31. Another round of snow maybe Wednesday night, 1 to 2 inches possible. Schools that are closed today, the Richland District including St. Mary and Eagle, Ithaca, Riverdale, River Valley, including St. Luke and St. John's, also Boscobel, Kickapoo, Fenimore, Weston, Lafarge, Highland, Waseca Steuben, Hillsboro. Hillsboro will teach virtually, however. North Crawford School District is closed and the district's child care center will not be open. Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua is closed. The Southwest Tech campus will not be open. Vark routes will be operating 2 hours late in and around Richland Center, that is in the city and in the country as well. Richland County meal sites will be closed. As a result, there will not be any home-delivered meals. Grant County meal sites, home deliveries, and bus and taxi services are canceled. Today's Crime Stoppers meeting will not be held, and the Bauer Gunnell Dalton VFW Post monthly meeting, that will be held next week, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock instead. Edward Jones Coffee Club is canceled for this morning at 9, and the partners of the Richland Hospital meeting scheduled for today has been canceled.
Connections. That's what your Touchstone Energy Cooperative makes possible every day. By providing the energy our community needs to stay connected to work, to family, to everyone and everything that matters. Day and night, we're always here. Because we know that of all the connections we make, none are more powerful than the human connection.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Sports Time today is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's Public Indoor Swimming Pool and Fitness Center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's Tractor Experts. Coming up, a look at some games that went on last night. Some very high-scoring games in boys basketball. Details as well on a Bucks disappointing loss in front of the hometown fans.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Let an LS Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from 21 to 101 horsepower. These excellent tractors have hydrostatic transmissions for ease of use. They come with loaders, 3 points, and PTOs to power any attachments. LS has great long-term financing. I would invite you to our indoor showroom at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East Richland Center, or at homesteaderstore.com.
Ithaca got into a shootout with Belmont in boys basketball last night. The host Bulldogs won 97-73. The game had the tempo of a college game, with Ithaca sporting 4 players in double-figure scoring and Belmont with 5. Ithaca never trailed on the way to a 55-44 lead at halftime. The Braves kept the pressure on and worked back within 7 at 69-62 in the second half before Ithaca got rolling again. Junior Channing Brown had 30 points to lead all scorers. Also, sophomore Devin Iam added 27, senior Micah Salisbury 17, and junior Sammy Clary totaled 16. Winston Paulskill came off the bench to lead Belmont with 19. Belmont won the JV game 43-34 over the Bulldogs. Ithaca now 10-1 with last night's 97-73 varsity win. The game with Seneca is canceled for tonight. Many sporting events in southwest Wisconsin will not happen this evening. They are scheduled to play at DeSoto on Friday. Belmont, now 3-10 with a loss, will play at River Ridge on Thursday. Monona Grove beat Platteville last night 75-59, and Viroqua over Brookwood at 87-54. Other boys' games, a win for Potosi over Argyle 79-63, Darlington 78, River Valley 31, and Abundant Life beat Barneveld 59-38. In girls' basketball from last night, Belleville over Dodgeville 65-50. Cuba City beat Riverdale 87-26. Argyle 65, River Valley 32, and Mauston over Portage 70-30. Wins over Iowa and Nebraska have bumped the Badgers up six spots to number 15 in this week's AP College Basketball Top 25 poll. Since losing to Providence in mid-November, Wisconsin has won 10 of its last 11 games. A weekend loss to Seton Hall knocked Marquette out of the top 10. The Golden Eagles come in at number 11 this week, down four spots. Wisconsin and Marquette both play tomorrow night. The Badgers at Ohio State and the Eagles at home against Butler. It makes you wonder, what if Aaron Jones had played every game of this season? Would the stretch drive have started earlier, or is it a good thing that he is so rested that he was the best back in the league over the final 3 weeks? Jones led all rushers with 358 yards, 22 rushing first downs, and 13 runs of more than 10 yards. Pro Football Reference reports Jones had what it calls a success rate of 62% this season. That's the highest mark in the NFL in the last 29 years. The Bucks with a tough loss at home last night, falling to the Jazz. Final score of 132-116. It was Milwaukee's fourth loss in five games. The Jazz had a huge 77-46 lead at halftime. For Giannis Antetokounmpo and the team, it was frustrating.
I think not just for me, for everybody. Being down in the first half, 33 points. I don't remember the last time we were down 33 points in the first half.
It's the city council that actually enacts policy. So whether or not to pass a new ordinance or amend one, all of those decisions to approve the city budget every year, all of that, the eight older persons vote on this. The mayor does not. The only reason the mayor would vote is in the case of a tie vote by the city council. And I'm surprised sometimes, I guess, when people will approach me and ask me why I don't just change something, just make it that way. Well, I can't. The system is we have eight elected representatives of the people that form the city council, and they are the ones who do that. And they serve on the various committees. So you got an idea, you bring it to the appropriate committee, it has to go through that, and then get to the council. Now, the mayor does have a great deal of authority and input, and I can give, you know, my opinions and all of that. But the votes are actually the older persons, and that makes them critically important. And so we need good candidates, right? County board's the same way. School board's the same way. When you want to enact and get policy set or change what you're doing, that's who will vote and decide. And so empty seats and uncontested this and that honestly disappoints me, and also leads back to why I don't mind having an opponent in the mayoral election. You got to make sure you have good people serving, because you understand the city, the county, the schools, these bodies spend millions of dollars of all of our money, everybody's money. It's a huge responsibility. So you don't want whoever raised their hand because they were bored, because they had more free time than somebody else. What you want are the committed people who are plugged in, tuned in, paying attention, that will bring good ideas, that will listen to their constituents and try to make the place better, and then enact those things. Or perhaps there's something on the books from years back that's no longer applicable, or at least should be upgraded. And I'm going to give you a great example, Phil. When I was an older person, one year, the school year started, and the folks at Cabusin called me and said, gee, we got people running these. Somebody's going to hit a kid. They're blowing right past the buses when the kids are getting on and off in town. Though, believe it or not, and this is crazy to me and a lot of other people, the state law says that you can't deploy a stop sign on a school bus in a place where there's curb and gutter.
Is that right?
Yes.
I did not know that.
We didn't know it. It was true, and that's what Cabusin came and told all of us. That was actually Beverly Lau. They came down and said, we need help. Well, as it happened, I was the chair of the Public Safety Committee at the time, and that's where that went. And I said, that can't be right. Well, J. Rob was the city attorney at the time. He looked it up. He said, it is right. But in Wisconsin, a municipality has the ability to adopt a local ordinance that changes that. So we did it immediately. It went right through the committee, right onto the council. We did it. And those stop signs are used in town just to keep those kids safe. Great example. A local resident, hey, this is a problem. A committee went, yes, it is. City attorney did his job. It went to council. And the eight alderpersons voted unanimously on that one. Boom. But stuff like that can come up too, that had been the way it was here for a long, long time. And it shouldn't have been. And when it was pointed out, we fixed that. So again, you got to have people who are on the ball, plugged in and doing it for the right reason. And you shouldn't be content with a list of uncontesteds. You shouldn't be content as a constituent, as a taxpayer, to have a sheet full of people who have no opponent, because you're going to get whoever signed up. And I'm not, the people who are on the city council right now, we're blessed. We got a really cohesive unit with a lot of the same goals. And you hear me talk about these opportunities coming up. I have full faith in that council when they start to hear these things to make good decisions for the people. We just talked about how we did the budget this year. But you got to watch out, because you can run out of sand in that hourglass. You could end up with people that are just there because they were not busy on Tuesday night. And we can't do that. And the county can't do that, because literally those people will have the authority to spend a whole lot of money, and you want it to be done responsibly.
Well, I think about this year, and it's an election year, you know, obviously the presidential election coming up in 11 months. But you talk about all the important decisions this year. I believe there are going to be some referendums for some area school districts and things, you know, in the city. So it could be one of the most important election years ever, couldn't it?
It is going to be a very important election year, locally, nationally, state level. You bet it is. I mean, listen to all the uproar about our state maps. And all of that, they need to be redrawn, and it's been through legal, all of this. At the state level, we know anybody can see how contentious the presidential election is going to be. I don't really care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You have to agree with that. This is going to be noisy. And here we've got mayor, city council, school board, and like you said, unfortunately, I guess is how I'll say it, the way things work for public education in our state now, referendums just happen. It's how they have to fund themselves, you know. And so, yeah, I don't have details on that. That's next time you see Steve Board, I'm sure he can tell you.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. All right.
He'll be here tomorrow.
All right.
In fact, I think they have an important board meeting tonight, actually. So.
Oh, they, yes, they do.
Yeah.
Tell him I said hello.
I will do that.
But, yeah, I mean, and they'll tell you. And it's not just Richland. It's all the school districts will tell you. I know, just today I saw one of the representatives from the River Valley schools down here. Mm-hmm. Same thing. They go through the same thing. Budget shortfall or growth opportunity, whatever it is. It takes money. And how do you do that? You got to go to the people. So, yeah, I'm sure Steve will fill you in, but it wouldn't surprise me if a referendum makes its way on the ballot from the schools. I mean, they got to pay the bills. So,
I know that there are some openings in the city. Did you want to talk about those?
Yeah, I do. We're looking for a public works director, looking for a zoning director.
Yeah.
And then we need a treasurer, a city treasurer, which is an appointed position appointed by the mayor, confirmed by the city council. And that is posted. City website has it. It's on Indeed. You can find the posting. We do have some interested parties in that position. Pleased to announce that. I'll be talking to several of them today, three or four of them, by the end of the day today, to meet with them and get them to come down and let's see who's who. Obviously, critical position, oversight of where the money came and went. So not a small thing. So that one's open. That one we're getting interest in. The other two, I'm not aware of like a viable candidate at this point. I mean, that one would be Ashley Oliphant, the city administrator. So if anybody has questions on public works director or zoning, contact the city administrator for that one.
Okay. We'll come back with Todd Copperdall and wrap up. Our final portion of the morning show today from WRCO, Mayor Todd Copperdall from the city of Richland Center is here. And I believe just a little bit, we're going to be determining how your name is going to be placed on the ballot. You're doing that at 10 o'clock this morning?
Yeah, I'll be down there talking to, obviously, the city clerk, Aaron Joyce. You know, it's that time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Yeah, as soon as I leave here. Right back to City Hall, and on we go with the day. It's a busy day. I've got meetings all day, and it's exciting. I mentioned some of what's going on, and some of those projects I'll be dealing with directly today with our economic development director and our city administrator.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to touch on or add today?
All right. So be careful. Snow's coming. Watch yourselves. Watch yourselves, right? We all joke about it, but let's be honest. We've had it pretty easy this winter, and snow and ice is snow and ice. Slow down. Watch where you're going. Leave some extra time. You know, we say it every year, but it's no joke. You know, there's no reason, you know, not to leave a little extra time, drive a little slower, get where you need to go, and then get back home. Tip of the cap so far this year to our street department. Guys have been out doing a great job, and here comes their first, potentially anyway, their first significant snow. I'm fully confident, you know, as is our administrator, in their ability, and just do what you can do to help them, which means when you need to move your vehicle, please do so. As we said, pay attention in the event of a snow emergency. It will be announced right here on WRCO.
Unfortunately, we were cruising along so well through the winter, and now, you know, everything averages out, it seems like, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, you're not going to get away with it. We still live in Wisconsin, and isn't it funny? You know, nothing into a week of January. You know, 51 degrees and rain at Christmas. And all of a sudden, I came, when I got here today for the public's benefit, Phil was standing here running around. A lot to do, left, right, left. And why? Because they know here comes the wave of cancellations.
Tomorrow. Or maybe later today.
Yeah, for the first time this year. And I've seen it a lot. I've spent quite a bit of time in this building to see how dedicated the staff is here to keep the public informed. It's really impressive. But they are in. They're very, what do you want to say? They're very mobilized here at WRCO right now to prepare for the onslaught and keep the public informed. So thanks to everyone down here for that, too.
Getting ready. I mean, you touched on it a little bit. There's some opportunities maybe for some businesses coming in, you know, across the road at the shopping mall and different places like that, Todd?
Yeah. I'll say this. That's private property. So the city, there's a lot we can't do there. It's privately owned. It's a private business. So people ask me all the time about one thing or another, mostly the former Penny's location. Yeah, they do have interest. I know they do. I am not at liberty to get deeper into it. It's their business. I know they do. It's about the right fit, you know, getting a lease agreement, all of it. It's between them and potential tenants. But yeah, there is interest. I mentioned multiple retailers looking. Well, they're not all looking at that location, but some of them are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's not in the city's authority to run that shopping center. We don't own it. So we see what you see. And we're hopeful. It comes down to making a deal sometimes, right? And that deal would be between a business and the ownership of that facility. And that's, you know, the way it should be too, is it not? I mean, you know, people say to me, well, the tax value of that building must have declined. Okay, yeah. And Dollar Tree built a new store. And Center Pharmacy, which was Thrifty White, is in a new store. I don't know if it declined or it shifted, right? Because two businesses that were there long-term are still in town somewhere else in new buildings that are taxable. And by the way, Verizon's here too. So we're not necessarily, at least in the last few years, I know Penny's left and so on, but in the last few, there's three of them that left the building down there but didn't leave the city.
Yeah, you're not losing them.
No, and two of them are in freshly built structures, taxable properties that weren't there before. So it's a little bit muted what's happened over there perhaps, but that doesn't mean we like it. It doesn't mean we don't see it. It means it's up to the ownership of that facility and any prospective tenant to find a way. And I'm very hopeful that they do that.
Much like if there's any buildings in downtown Richland Center, kind of the same thing. You don't really have a say over how they're used, do you?
Yeah, it depends on what they want to do, right? I mean, there are a few city ordinances. There are things like you can't put a gentleman's club is prohibited. You couldn't do that. There are a few of them. But most things, as long as they are not in conflict with the city's comprehensive plan, which has been made public, things like that can be done. And that's another thing that disappoints people sometimes, and I know that. But sometimes the city just honestly doesn't have the authority. Maybe somebody in town doesn't like a particular business where they think, well, we already have one of those or whatever it is. But yeah, there are many times when the city really can't tell somebody no because, you know, it's private property. It's free enterprise. They're not breaking the law. Well, and again, slippery slope. Watch what you wish for. You don't want too much government oversight telling people what business they can be in and where they have to do it. Sometimes you need to do that. You need zoning rules and so on, but you don't want to overdo that. We don't want to fully submit to Big Brother, and all of a sudden Phil Neen's got a great business idea. He can't do it in Richland Center for no good reason.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Well, we appreciate your honesty and looking ahead toward the coming months here, Todd. We appreciate what you do and being honest here on the morning show.
Well, always. I have been the whole time. And I mean, I think that's, as an elected representative of the people, that's the only way you should be. So, and I'm happy to do it. Look forward to seeing you the next time around, Phil.
Sounds good. Mayor Todd Coppernall, City of Richland Center, joining us for our Monday morning show.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.